This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozell for Sunday, February 5th, 2017. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We are live in studio here on this Super Bowl Sunday morning. I am sticking in for Dr. Rozell today. I'm Dr. Stephanie Pina, and in guest in the office. We're not in the office.
Nope, not anymore.
In the radio station today, taking your calls live. We're going to talk about something that we've done before. But, you know, every time we do this in-house live lecture, we get a large response because it has to do with so many different health concerns. So, you know, as Dr. Rozell would say, you tried and applied. This is definitely one of those topics where people get frustrated because they don't see the changes that they want to see and they don't have the information. So we're here to give you some of that information to also make you think differently about your health. And what are we talking about? It's hypertension, so high blood pressure. And the person who's going to be doing this on Wednesday night in the Rozell Center for Healing is Dr. Matthew Adams, who's here with me today.
Woohoo! Happy Super Bowl Sunday. No, it's a funny topic to talk about, you know, high blood pressure in general, because a lot of people are going to have some high blood pressure today.
Yes.
On both sides.
On both sides. You know, throughout the whole game and everything before and after. And yeah.
Yeah. It brings back memories. When I was on my mission, I had talked to somebody who was a University of Tennessee football fan, and she was in the hospital for, I don't remember what condition it was. And she was telling me about how they kept running in there because she's watching the Tennessee Florida game, which is a big rivalry game. And Tennessee actually beat Florida that year, which doesn't happen very often for some reason, and her blood pressure kept going way up and setting the monitors off a little bit. So for all of you watching the game, just relax a little bit.
If you feel it rising too much or you have concerns, you should come see Dr. Adams' lecture on Wednesday. And you can always call the office at 703-698-7117 to reserve your spot because they might be full this time. You can also call us here live in the studio if you have any questions you want to answer or ask. And that number, in case you haven't heard it enough, but we're going to give it to you again, is 1-888-630-9625. Again, that's 1-888-630-9625. So let's get serious about this serious topic for a second. According to the CDC, I'm going to give you some quick guidelines and kind of fun facts about this that's not so fun. About 7 million Americans, about 29%, have high blood pressure, and that's one in every three adults. About half, 54%, of people with high blood pressure have their condition under control. And nearly one of three American adults has pre-hypertension. So this is not a diagnosis, but it's their blood pressures are rising. And the last fun fact is it costs us $46 billion a year. And that includes the cost for healthcare services, medication to treat high blood pressure, and missing days work off. Those are fun facts, but it doesn't tell us anything about high blood pressure and essentially how to treat it. It's just saying that we realize that it's an issue out there.
Well, yeah, you said one in three have high blood pressure, and then you said one in three are pre-hypertension. So only one in three have normal.
Exactly.
Okay.
Good math skills.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so we need to address all three of those, so all three individuals. Dr. Adams, I know you're going to talk about this on Wednesday, and when we were talking earlier, one of the things I think people don't understand is what really is hypertension, high blood pressure, and why does it create so much issues in the body that lead to other chronic healthcare conditions, and why is it monitored so closely?
Well, the blood pressure is the pressure on the arteries that they're measuring. So when they put that cuff on your arm and they're listening or the monitor's reading it, it's picking up the force going through there. And so you have the two numbers. You got the systolic, which is the bigger one, the diastolic, which is the smaller one. And it's basically measuring how much blood is, how the pressure of the blood going out and the pressure coming back in. And that can give you ideas of how well your heart is pumping. It can give you ideas of how much blood you have. It can give you ideas of if you're fatigued. I mean, there's so many things that it starts off to tell us, okay, there's an issue. The big thing, though, is if you have high blood pressure, because it's high, there's not like a, it's high, so this is what it is. But it's a warning sign that says, hey, there's an issue that we need to fix. And so that's one of my, you know, one of our things here is we're always talking about trying to not take medication, because medication is usually just fixing that symptom. Well, high blood pressure is a symptom of many other things that control your body that is starting to break down.
So definitely, you know, blood flow, movement throughout the body to muscles, to organ systems,
yes,
that can affect, obviously, function.
Correct.
And so if there's an issue with function, we can kind of see things like the risk factors for increased risk of stroke, increased output and need for the kidneys to work harder. So we see hypertension with that,
mm-hmm,
and other blood-related cardiovascular issues. If the blood vessels have more pressure in them, they're going to get hardened. So it's going to create additional atherosclerotic conditions as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and your heart will start to enlarge because it's having to work harder, trying to push the blood out. You can have blood vessel damage. If your blood pressure gets too high, you see people with, you know, eye issues because those capillaries, the really small ones, can start to burst or have issues there because the blood pressure gets too high. So, and plus the vital organs, if it's getting there too hard, it can damage them as well. So there's a lot of areas where high blood pressure can really hurt you.
Now, when we think about preventative medicine or even in changing things that, you know, if someone comes in and they say, I have high blood pressure, I've been monitoring at home, or I go into the doctor's office and they check it and they changed my medication. It doesn't seem to be the same, or I've been on the same medication for a really long time. We have those types of patients coming in all the time into the office. And so when we sit there and look at things outside of just the heart and the blood vessels, there's a lot of other factors that are involved with that as well, too.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, I'm trying to figure out where to start because so many things are interacting with it from all the things we talk about here on the radio. Dr. Zell, of course, harps on things like blood sugar and diet. I mean, if those are off, that's going to throw your blood pressure off. If you're trying to get off this medication, you've got to figure out, okay, you know, am I exercising? Am I getting sleep? Am I eating correctly? Things like that. And then the other thing that people forget, too, is if you're getting your blood pressure done, you talk about changing medications. If you go to the doctor or the hospital, this is a funny one because a lot of people, when you go to the hospital, it's usually because you don't feel well and you're nervous when you're there, and they take your blood pressure and it's elevated, which makes sense because you're scared, you're in a hospital, and then they want to put you on medication. I think it's important if anybody has questions to monitor their blood pressure at home if they can, because there's many patients, I'm sure you've seen this too, where in the office, it doesn't matter what doctor's office it is, it's going to be a lot higher than when they're at home. And I've got some patients to prove it will bring in like daily for a month of their blood pressure, and it's all very normal, maybe a spike here or there, and then we try to take in the office and it's like, whoa, this is really high. But we just know that that's not their norm. That's just what they are here because they're nervous about getting it in an office.
Right.
So make sure you monitor that for anybody that's listening, because if you get it done and they give you medication, it's going to drop your blood pressure when you're at home and resting too low. And then you can have some issues there as well.
So when you talk about natural cures for blood pressure issues on Wednesday, the February 8th at 7 p.m., you're going to address both when blood pressure goes too high and also blood pressure going too low.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to focus primarily just on hypertension. I think that the low blood pressure gets forgotten sometimes. And like we just mentioned, blood pressure is a sign where you've got things going on. So if you have low blood pressure, that's another sign. That's a sign where you could be having adrenal fatigue, where you've had chronic stress for a long time and your body's starting to wear down. Or it could be a sign where you've got some low thyroid or thyroid issues that need to get dealt with. It could be a sign where you've got anemia, where maybe you're not making enough blood cells in order to get oxygen to the rest of your body. And so those are some major issues that need to get addressed. And so if your blood pressure is normally low and you assume that because it's not high, then you're good to go, that may not be the case. That there may be some things you've got to take care of too to get it up into a normal range. And I'm seeing more and more of that with my patients now. And I kind of lead, there are a lot more people who are having adrenal fatigue and thyroid issues. And that's probably some of the reason we're seeing more of that as well.
So much more metabolic causes than you know, other areas of the body than just the heart and the blood vessels.
Yeah. I mean,
on them.
Yeah. And that's what I think it is. I mean, when someone comes in with heart and blood vessel issues, you've got to look around at the other things. It's just, it's the same reason, like when we have people talking about, like men talking with erectile dysfunction issues. I mean, that is a lot of times a blood pressure type thing. And again, that's a sign of a blood pressure issue. And then you have to back up. Okay, there's a blood pressure issue. What's the blood pressure issue? Okay, here's the issue. Well, what's causing that issue? It's always trying to figure out what that cause is. And again, that's a lot of things that we're going to talk about on Wednesday. We're going to go through some different causes here on the show today. But that's the key is what is causing this to happen? Not how do I just bring it down, but what is causing it so that I can fix that cause and move on with my life knowing and having confidence that I'm healthy and it's not going to come back.
We're going to go to the phones real quick. Laura, thank you for calling in.
Hi, Pina. Thank you for taking my call. I have two questions, actually. The first one is, does high sodium raise your blood sugar?
Well, you mean blood pressure?
No, the diabetes. Does too much sodium cause diabetes or raise the blood sugar level in your in the blood? Or
I don't know that high blood sodium would necessarily raise the blood sugar in your blood. I mean, because sodium attracts water. That's yeah. One of the big things that can cause your blood pressure to go up.
I wouldn't say
it would raise your blood sugar. Typically, blood sugar is going to go up due to either the amount of sugar in your system or if your body is producing too much sugar because of some other metabolic issues. But I wouldn't say that high sodium necessarily is causing your blood sugar to go up.
Okay, thank you. And then I have the other question is, I have a blood pressure monitor at home. And I do measure my blood pressure every day. But unfortunately, this machine that I have, it's a talking machine. It's called Home Medics. It gives me very high record, and it scares me. So when I go to the doctor takes my blood pressure, it's normal. So I don't know if I should not be using this machine anymore. I don't know if it's calibrated or not.
Well, to test that, take it with you to your doctor and do it there and see if it's the same as your doctor takes. And that way you'll know how accurate it is.
We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes and talking also a little bit more about what you can do at home and right before you go to Dr. Adams' lecture on Wednesday. We'll be back in just a couple. And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We are live in studio today talking about high blood pressure, hypertension, and the things you can do and monitor and how you can be more involved with natural selections and things that you can just get more information so you know a little bit more about what's going on, how to prevent it as well, too. Since February is Heart Month, it makes sense that we would be talking about hypertension. But then also I want to remind everyone that we have a Heart, the charity that we do every February at the Rozelle Center for Healing going on. It starts actually today, February 5th, and runs through Saturday, February 18th. And since you hear all of us online when we're here, what this is it allows you to come in for a new patient evaluation. And the only thing you have to do is a $50 minimum donation to Food for Others. Usually we do this with bringing in food selections, but with the office moving a little bit, we're going to do it. And so we can make sure that they can get the supplies that they also need as well, too. So you can actually do a $50 minimum donation for Food for Others by calling the office to set this up. And like I said, this is good from February 5th to February 8th. You just need to make your appointment by then. You don't have to come in by then, but you can call the office for more details. It's a great charity. We've worked for Food for Others for a number of years. Also sometimes around Thanksgiving time as well, too. But as you think of, no one's really thinking about food at this time, other than the people at the Super Bowl, which we'll talk about a little bit later, which is not a good thing. But we basically, we've been working with them for a number of years, so it's an excellent cause for you to get involved with and a chance to help yourself as well, too. So if you want to make any, get any more details or make a donation, call our office, 703-698-7117. Again, that's 703-698-7117, and that is good for a new patient chiropractic evaluation and a new patient acupuncture evaluation. So all the doctors here, minus Dr. Rozelle, are involved with that, and we look forward to seeing you and while you're helping others as well, too. And I believe that's tax, you can write that off as well, too, because they're CO13. So when you're calling the office for the details there, make sure you sign up for Dr. Adams' lecture as well, too, for this Wednesday night, February the 8th at 7 p.m. So we're going to kind of go a little bit back to that last phone call and talk about monitoring, because it's a great preventative way to kind of see where you are, to give more information to your practitioners as well, too, on where you stand, and use that as a base to start the questions and, you know, see how much of an issue things are. We were talking about some of the issues with home monitors versus, say, store monitors or being in the office. Dr. Adams, do you want to go from there?
Yeah, the home ones, you just have to make sure that they're calibrated correctly. You mentioned make sure the batteries are correct. And if you have questions, bring it in. Like, I've had patients who have had some different readings on their home monitors, and bring them into the office, and we'll take the blood pressure there, and they can do their blood pressure monitor, make sure it adds up. If you have a question about the what we call white coat syndrome, where it's much lower at home but much higher at the office, you got to figure out if it's accurate. Now, if it's working properly and you bring it into the office and we check in the office and it's high at the office because you're there and it's your home unit, we know it's probably pretty accurate at home. The previous caller had very high numbers at home but lower numbers at the office. So that makes me feel like there's an issue there. The ones at the stores, I wonder how accurate those are, just because they're made for like one size fits all, and then who knows who's been using it, and who knows what child has been climbing on it and pulling on the arms. It's hard to know how accurate those are. And then the other thing that's important too, and not a lot of doctors do this. We learned it in school, but not of them. A lot of them do it afterwards. But getting your blood pressure on both sides can be important too, because if you've got blood pressure that's a little off on one side, it could signify some blockage over on that side. What were you saying earlier about lymphedema?
Well, we have a lot of times you're seeing breast cancer patients come in, and if they've had lymph nodes removed, especially in the arms, under the armpit and stuff, a lot of times they're told, do not take your blood pressure, don't add any on that side of the arm. So you have to use the other arm. So if we're doing it wrong and incorrectly, we're going to get the wrong readings, and then potentially, can we use that information? Not really. So there, even though it seems like such a simple device, there's definitely instructions that probably that any physician needs to go over a little bit more with patients who are going to be monitoring at home. And because if you're monitoring at home and giving that information and trying to say, I'm not feeling that great, this is what I'm getting, that should be done. And I always tell my patients to change their batteries out on their blood pressure cuffs at least every 6 months, even if they're good batteries, because you want to keep those at-home cuffs monitoring going well.
And then the other thing that's neat about blood pressure you can check is if you take it in different positions. Let's say you're sitting down and you lay down, or you lay down and you stand up, each time you change position, there are changes in the body that regulate how much pressure you need, because you need less pressure laying down than you do when you're standing up to pump blood through there, especially getting up to the brain. So one of the things that we do in the office is we check it in those three different positions, because it gives us an idea on how well your body is able to regulate it. And if it's having trouble having your blood pressure go up, when you stand up, it should go up about 10 points. If you're having trouble regulating that gives us, again, it's another symptom of something going on, of possible adrenal fatigue or something with the kidneys not being able to balance that blood pressure. So, again, we've got other things that you've got to look at that blood pressure can tell you if it's not moving and if it's not in the right range like it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and when we think about this, we think about those other causes, because, you know, 95% of people are diagnosed with what they call essential hypertension, where they don't have a reason why it's creating hypertension issues, why their blood pressure is high. That other 5% has an issue. It could be chronic kidney disease. It could be a lot of different things. So we're going to keep talking about that and other ways we can help you as well. Feel free to give us a call. And we know we've got callers on the line, so please hang on with us and we'll get back to you right after the break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live in studio. This is Stephanie Pina, and we have Dr. Matthew Adams, who's going to be your presenter this Wednesday night on February the 8th at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing. And he's going to be touching and talking about natural cures for blood pressure issues and what we can do, what we should know, and everything in between. We're going to go straight to the phones. Thank you, Ed, for holding. How can we help you?
Yes, hi. I've been struggling with blood pressure, high blood pressure for 20 years. I was just wondering, I never got an answer from at least three different doctors. I asked them, I'm very hyper, and I was wondering, being hyper, does that cause high blood pressure, or does the high blood pressure make you hyper?
That's a good question. You know, we say hyper, if we feel hyper, sometimes that can be because your body is like in a high stressed state where you're almost jittery, you're hyper, you want to get moving. We see this a lot with people who are different type A personalities that are always on the go. Because your body and your affects your heart with these, we call adrenal receptors, which is your fight or flight kind of system. And so if that fight or flight system is always cranked up, then that can cause your blood pressure to be up. So I don't necessarily think you're hyper because your blood pressure is high, but I do think that there can be a correlation between you feeling hyper and your blood pressure being up from that. That's one of the reasons, I've heard of beta blockers. Those are drugs that they give to bring down blood pressure. Those beta blockers actually go and they stimulate those receptors in different areas of the body that are affected by your fight or flight system to calm it down. And that's where you have to ask yourself, well, what's going on in my body to make me feel hyper or like this?
I left one other thing out. I struggled with asthma also from a child, and that probably contributes. But the hyper thing, I don't know. It's just my employers love it. My wife even enjoys it, getting stuff done all the time. But I think some of them, could it be the asthma medication?
Well, one of the things, if you think about why we need to increase blood flow through the whole body, is obviously oxygen demand, because the oxygen is in the blood, right? So if the body thinks it's not getting enough oxygen, one of the things it wants to do is push more blood through. When we see symptoms like muscle weakness, fatigue, there's a blood pressure issue there sometimes, because the body's oxygen demand is using up what it is. It's not the supply and demand of what's going on. So definitely with an asthma situation, that can get the body, you know, you're not getting the oxygen in, for whatever reason, and it's not getting around the body. So your blood vessels go, I'm just going to contract to get a little bit more around quicker. And so that over time can actually change the integrity of the blood vessels. So it's probably not the only factor. And like Dr. Adams was saying, like the stress demand of the sympathetic system, that fight flight where your body thinks it just needs to go all the time. And even though you're more productive that way, your body's thinking, oh, I'm never on having rest. I never have a chance to relax. That's probably leading to it. And I'd probably say one of the things that's why you never got any answers from some of these doctors is, unless it's a physical or chemical component that the medications actually address, they're not really addressing the stress part of that. They're not really looking at the adrenal part, and we see this all the time. So some of the back history, like that you had as a childhood, can actually play, you know, a big factor into what happens on later on, just like family history as well, too.
So, yeah. So, Ed, if you've got any questions, send us an email or give us a call or stop in at the lecture I'm doing on Wednesday, because there's a lot of factors involved there, but I think you might be on the right track with some of your thinking.
Mm-hmm. Definitely want to question stuff like that, because, you know, if you've been on the same protocol, whether it's, you know, holistic or, you know, a medication protocol for a number of years and things aren't getting any better, and especially if you're feeling worse, you want to make that known, because otherwise, if the doctors don't know what's going on, they don't have a good answer for it, it's time to look for another resource too. And that's why we're basically here as well too. So there's looking at the whole body and then just looking at the one little system of the heart and the blood vessels as well too. So thank you for calling in, Ed. It was a great question, right on topic. If anyone else has any questions, feel free to give us a call here live. The number again is 888-630-9625. Again, that number is 888-630-9625. Let's keep going with different things that we think of as far as treatment, prevention, things that people can do, things that people don't understand. One of the things I wanted to bring up with you, I'm going to bring it back to the chiropractic side of things. There actually was a chiropractic study, we were talking about this earlier, that showed how you could actually reduce blood pressure with a chiropractic manipulation.
Yeah, there are studies that show... Thanks for bringing that up.
You on the spot.
Yeah. Where they've done a chiropractic manipulation, particularly on the first vertebra on the spine, the C1 or what we call the atlas. And they've done studies and shown that whenever they do this adjustment, immediately after the adjustment, there is a drop in blood pressure, which is pretty neat. And when I was in school, we had one of our labs, we did a demonstration and an experiment in there where we actually had one of the professors there. Actually, I had three of them, because you had one as the guinea pig. You have one taking the blood pressure, one doing the adjustment. And they took the blood pressure before and after the adjustment, and there's a significant drop right there that I was able to witness. And I've seen that with other patients too. So the neurological system and the nerves that are going to affect the heart and are going to affect your fight or flight system are vital in controlling that. And if there is some irritation there from previous trauma or posture or whatnot, it can affect how your heart is pumping, and which would, again, affect the blood pressure itself. And so that's important to think about, too. I've got a number of patients who... And many people won't realize that when I say a trauma or an injury, I don't mean like you got in a car accident and your airbag went off. And I mean, we fall all the time. I don't fall all the time, but people all the time are tripping or hitting their head or sleeping in a weird position. It doesn't take much to shift those things over a little bit. And over time, if you keep doing that, it can cause a major neurological inhibition to particular areas that can affect blood pressure.
And we know that other things, like even micro traumas we talk about, like what you mentioned is obviously like major stuff, you know. But, you know, bad, poor positioning over time, you know, not exercising and being immobile can cause that too. I mean, you think about when you fly on the plane, especially if you fly internationally, they used to have you get up halfway through and walk around to improve the circulation in the legs to help prevent thrombosis. And, you know, I mean, you're looking at pressure issues and how the blood is actually flowing through those blood vessels. So some of that also can be used on more of an everyday preventative strategy as well, too, because we know that exercise affects blood pressure.
Yeah.
We know that other things like dietary changes can affect blood pressure. And, you know, we get asked a lot of questions and have to review a lot of that too, because a lot of people are going, well, what do I take to do this? And it's not necessarily a one size fits all type of scenario.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you can take and a lot of studies that show that these things improve blood pressure. I mean, magnesium, of course, magnesium is the most common deficient mineral in the United States, but magnesium can help reduce it. Or there's other herbs that we talked about on the drive here, or there's, you know, B vitamins. I mean, many of those things can help reduce blood pressure, but like you said, it's not for everybody. And if your blood pressure is out of control, and I just want to bring this up too, if it's really high, some people, I know you don't want to take medication. A lot of people don't want to if you listen to this show. Sometimes if it gets really high, you may have to for a little while until you can get it under control. Don't feel like if it's, you know, super high that you're going to bring it down by just taking magnesium. It doesn't always work that way. And so that's why it's important to work with your doctor. And again, like you said, let them know how you feel. If you're taking medication and you're feeling worse, you've got to voice that to them. And if you are, you know, doing some things to reduce your medication because you don't feel like you should be taking as much and you're taking natural things to support it and it's helping, you should tell them that too, because they're going to think that what they're doing is helping you. And you've got to be honest with it. Be honest with your practitioner about these things. That's important.
You know, you're going to raise your practitioner's blood pressure because we'll be stuck and want to know what to do. But I think one of the other things, too, when we look at this, you know, the guidelines keep changing, it seems like. You know, when do we consider ourselves in risk for or at risk for high blood pressure? They keep lowering the numbers. A lot of that has to do with when do you add one medication in from a conventional standpoint, or two, when do you start with a diuretic versus what they call ACE inhibitors or beta blockers or calcium channel blockers, and then put everything in. And then, of course, they always go, well, it's got to be because of the integrity of the blood vessels. So then we go, oh, what are your cholesterol numbers?
Yeah.
And, oh, well, we can put you on a statin for that as well, too. So what's interesting is we're looking at the integrity of not just those blood vessels, but where that blood's going throughout the body and other factors as well. And if there is a cholesterol issue, which shouldn't be addressed necessarily with a blood pressure medication, you know, you got to look at, why is the body holding on to that? Is it a liver issue? Is it the diet? Is there too much fat going in there? Is it not being utilized? You know, when Sue Rozelle has been on here before, she's talked a lot about VAP testing, which really breaks down the cholesterol to see the different types of cholesterol. And that helps figure out where that issue is really going wrong and what's the best way to, you know, prevent and treat it too.
Yeah, because cholesterol is actually really good for us. It's what makes all your cells. It's what forms all your hormones. And so you don't want too much because it's sticky and it sticks to things in the blood vessels, even though a lot of time it's sticking to things in the blood vessels because it's trying to repair damage from other issues that are going on. Yeah, but that's kind of the reason having that high with the triglycerides or the fat floating around is the main issue. But again, you don't want it to get too low. And that's why I have to talk to a lot of patients who are taking statins, which are medication that goes after the liver to stop it from producing as much cholesterol. And it gets too low, and then you can't adequately make a healthy things that your body needs too. But yeah, that's a big thing. And I think cholesterol, you know, there's more and more studies are showing that cholesterol can affect blood pressure, but it's not the greatest thing when it comes to cardiovascular risk, as other areas like sometimes blood sugar or inflammation is becoming. It's still scares people a lot because it's been out there for so long. So that's definitely one you have to look at. You know, there's a lot of correlations with blood sugar when it comes to cholesterol. People don't think about that. We had a caller earlier ask about blood sugar and sodium. But blood sugar itself, because if it's a lot of sugars floating through the blood, it causes damage to those blood vessels. And then damage to the blood vessels can do a couple things. You could get more cholesterol going in there to patch things up, and the triglycerides cause plaquing. Or your body may want to repair it and buffer the inflammation with adding calcium, and then you get your arteries get calcified a little bit and they can't open and expand as much. And so your blood pressure gets higher because it's not as flexible. That's what I'm looking for. And so blood sugar is a major issue. You know, we talk about stress, and stress is a big topic out here in the D.C. area, especially now. Everybody's stressed right now with a lot of changes that are taking place. So one of the things you could do today is you could watch the Puppy Bowl that's going on. Is it before the Super Bowl?
I believe it starts 3 p.m. Eastern time, and it'd be the 11th year it's on.
There you go. So if you feel like you need to de-stress, you could watch cute puppies playing football. But
we can write a prescription for that.
but yeah, stress, because of the influence of what we call the vagus nerve in the fight or flight system, that's going to raise your blood pressure up too. And I think a lot of people in this area, particularly with all the politics around here, with traffic, with jobs, I mean, that has a major influence on people's heart health and their blood pressure out here. Let's see, what else am I? There's so many things that affect it. I know there's a couple other things, major ones I'm missing.
Well, if we look at the first line of defense in general for treating high blood pressure, you know, they always say start with diet and lifestyle changes. However, there's a little lack of information on where you go with diet and lifestyle information. And I've met many of patients that come in and said, that's what I was told to do, and I didn't get any instructions after that. So I think that's really tough. And the one that the diet that most people are kind of referred to look up as is what called the DASH diet, which essentially is limiting sodium chloride. So this is table salt. Since the average American takes in about 2 to 3 times more than what they really need to survive. You know, obviously you're getting that from different sources, not just what you're sprinkling on food, but you're getting that in processed foods. You're getting that, you know, in a lot of different things, foods, liquids, you name it. And then of course, we're not drinking enough water to begin with, or we're drinking things like soda, coffee, teas, the whole mantra, that are all diuretics as well too. They're going to pull more out. Our sodium levels in our blood are going to increase as well. That's fine, but most people think, I'm just not going to put salt on my food anymore. But there's a good benefit for salt as well, too. But we just have to look at the difference between table salt and, say, sea salt, which has other trace minerals in there to help balance it out.
Yeah, and actually, sea salt has a lot of benefits when balancing your adrenal-kidney communication, because those are going to regulate blood pressure. I mean, if you have severe hypertension, you definitely want to limit your salt, but like you said, it's not just about, I won't put salt on my food, but I'm still going to eat French fries from McDonald's. I mean, you have to really be careful and figure out all the different areas where that salt is and pull it out if you're going to do it correctly.
So we're finishing up. We got one more section on the Dr. Rozelle Live show. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes talking with Dr. Matthew Adams about hypertension, high blood pressure, and things we can do naturally to help treat that.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live in studio here, and I want to remind everybody that this Wednesday night, February 8th at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing is going to be Dr. Matthew Adams. He's going to be continuing this conversation on hypertension, high blood pressure, and natural cures for it, talking about a lot of things we talked about today, more in depth, and going from there. I also want to remind everybody about the Have a Heart campaign that starts this Sunday, today actually, and runs till February 18th. And in order to support a local food bank, which is Food for Others, in exchange for a $50 minimum donation, we are offering you a choice of the following services: either a new patient chiropractic exam at the Rozelle Center for Healing, or a new patient acupuncture exam. So most of the doctors that you hear on the show are available for those appointments. And you can schedule an appointment and get more details on how to make your donation by calling the office as well, especially when you're signing up for Dr. Adams' lecture at 703-698-7117. Again, that's 703-698-7117. And you can also find more information on that on our website as well, too, which is www.rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. And which you can also find all the information about the doctors that are participating in the Have a Heart campaign as well, too. Yeah. Which is, we've been doing this for, I've been here 6.5 years, and we've changed it around a little bit, but we usually get a really great response. It's a great thing to do, especially after all the hustle and bustle of the holidays, and you're able to kind of give back to others as well, too.
I'd be curious to see if we stick with the donation or the cans later, if they decide they don't like carrying all the boxes out, because we usually get a lot of donations, which is fantastic. We get a lot of donations. The back office just fills up with cans of food for people, so it's really neat to see that. But the money donations will be a huge help as well. But so I'm trying to think of what else we haven't discussed with blood pressure.
Well, I was thinking, you know, when we look at blood pressure from more of a holistic standpoint and looking at how the whole body works together, you know, like always we have to look at the biochemical, the structural, the mental, emotional, even the stress and spiritual side of it too. So there's a lot that goes into that that doesn't necessarily have a way to monitor. You can't say on my stress scale from 1 to 10, I'm at a 9 today, so my blood pressure is going to be high. And other people also have different physical symptoms, like the same nerve that Dr. Adams talked about, the vagus nerve, goes to the stomach as well, too. So you may actually have more experience or be experiencing more symptoms, say, in the digestive tract, which is just as important to check out and see what's going on. Same thing with poor sleep. When people can't sleep at night, they may have blood pressure issues. Anything that feels like a throbbing headache can feel like it could be a blood pressure issue as well, too. So it's more than just what's going on with the heart and the blood vessels. It's really about looking at the whole body overall.
Yeah, that's what I want to go through is look at, okay, we've got high blood pressure. We've got low blood pressure. Let's look at some of the other factors. Let's look at some of the other things with other lab work that you want to look for. Let's look at some of the other symptoms that might be going on to give us an idea of, okay, this may be what we need to look at. This is the area that may be the cause leading to this blood pressure issue, or this lab work shows a couple of signs here that maybe we need to focus on this area so they affect our blood pressure. So we're going to talk about some of those things. What are some of the symptoms of the cause, and then what to do about it? How can you, or how can us, I mean, both sides, what can we do together in order to help support your body and able to bring the blood pressure down? Because that's what it's all about. It's how can you make your body or help support your body to function like it's supposed to? Because our body is an amazing thing that's made to have a normal blood pressure. We just have to help it get there. So what can we do to help these different causes that are going to eventually help your body work like it's supposed to and help your blood pressure regulate to be up or down wherever it needs to go for you?
So make sure you call into the office at 703-698-7117 to sign up for Have a Heart campaign and also Dr. Adams' lecture. Dr. Rizal is going to be back with us next year.
He's going to be in Florida for a whole year.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.